Today, part two of our series on the oil services company Halliburton and its government contracts in Iraq. Without a competitive bid, Halliburton got one of the richest military logistics contracts in history to restore Iraq's oil industry. Skeptics saw in that victory the work of Vice President Dick Cheney, who was the company's CEO from 1995 to 2000. But defense contracting experts say that while Halliburton is the ultimate insider, it likely won the lucrative Iraq contracts for other reasons. NPR's John Burnett reports.
Houston stock analyst Jim Wicklund was riding in a taxi cab recently, and he struck up a conversation with the driver.
He said, well, I fully believe that Dick Cheney started the war in Iraq because Halliburton stock was doing badly. And he figured if he started the war in Iraq, Halliburton could come in and rebuild the country, the stock would go up and he'd make millions.
Ours is an age of deepening cynicism. The facts show that during Cheney's five-year stint at Halliburton, the company's government business did quite well. Bill Allison is with the Center for Public Integrity, a Washington investigative nonprofit that has analyzed Halliburton's fortunes.
Well, in the 5 years before Dick Cheney became CEO of Halliburton, the company had about $1.2 billion in federal contracts, which is significant. In the 5 years after he joined Halliburton, they got $2.3 billion in federal contracts, or almost double.
Chuck Dominey is vice president for government affairs at Halliburton and a retired three-star general who was director of the U.S. Army staff. He maintains that the company would have won the government work anyway, even if the former defense secretary had not been CEO.
Mr. Cheney made it very clear to me when he arrived that he would not be engaged in our government side of our business. He said, you're on your own. I don't want any perception that as a former secretary of defense, I influence government work. This is direct conversation.
You know, General, people are going to think that when you have a man of that stature, it stretches belief that he's will not carry over into, you know, having influence.
That's why this conversation is so important, because the truth is that it had no impact. He's a man of great stature, but he's also a man of great integrity.
It's hard to accept, as the company asserts, that Cheney only focused on drumming up oil and gas business, says Bill Allison of the Center for Public Integrity.
When he took over Halliburton's helm, he still had his Rolodex, and all of those kinds of contacts and all of those kinds of relationships he developed with the government still held when he was out of the government.
It is a fairly common strategy of those who do business with the Pentagon to hire former generals and cabinet officials, and then when they get contracts, to be accused of cronyism. In this sense, Halliburton is no different, says Peter Singer of the Brookings Institution. He has a chapter on Halliburton in his book, Corporate Warriors.
Brown & Root's just been a little bit more successful at it, in part because it's been able to get higher-placed officials. But it's not something that's endemic to this one company. It's rather endemic to the industry. I mean, that's the way the game is played right now. You know, and it's the saying, you know, don't blame the player, blame the game.
The pressing question today is how the Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root, known by its initials KBR, won its lucrative contracts in Iraq after Cheney went to the White House. People who've studied, investigated, and regulated Halliburton point to its long work history with the Pentagon that goes back to shipbuilding in World War II. They say the company did not need Cheney's help and was, in any event, unlikely to get it. Jack Gansler was Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisitions from 1997 to 2001, where he oversaw the awarding of $180 billion a year in private contracts. He says of Dick Cheney,
sure, he had access while he was at Halliburton. My guess would be while he was in the vice president's job that he didn't call down to my successor and say, you know, Jack, I want to make sure that they win. You know, that would just not be an appropriate thing, and I'm sure that didn't happen.
For a Houston perspective, Jim Wicklund, who follows Halliburton as an energy analyst for Bank of America Securities, says that Cheney was not particularly well liked by oil men. They always considered him a politician.
And so, frankly, most of the people in the industry, the idea that Mr. Cheney is doing something to help his friends back at Halliburton, not only is that horribly naive in this day and age after the Enron and WorldCom scandals, but we don't think that Mr. Cheney has a whole lot of really good friends in Halliburton at senior management he could even do those kinds of favors for.
The decision by the Pentagon in the late 1980s to downsize the military, to send soldiers on security patrol and hire contractors to do kitchen patrol created rich opportunities for versatile, self-sufficient contractors like Brown and Root. In the past 11 years, KBR has won 2 out of 3 of the Army's logistical support contracts, known as LOGCAP. Another big defense contractor, DynCorp, won the other LOGCAP contract. Halliburton's defenders point out that Brown and Root's military support operations mushroomed not under Bush-Cheney, but under the Clinton administration, as company employees followed troops into Somalia, Haiti, Albania, Bosnia, and Kosovo. When the Army awarded a no-bid contract to Brown and Root in 1997 to continue its work in the Balkans, few objected. Indeed, Vice President Al Gore's National Performance Review praised Halliburton's logistical support services.
One of the reasons that KBR has so much work under the LOGCAP contract is that over the years they've done a spectacular job.
Steve Schooner was a senior official in the White House Office of Federal Procurement Policy under Bill Clinton.
First of all, it's risky, and second, let's be frank, it's difficult. They're being asked to support huge numbers of people on short notice in the kind of places where businesses aren't operating. Put tens of thousands of people on the ground in a harsh environment and build housing for them and find food for them, shelter, transportation. This is a very challenging task.
Though a recent Pentagon audit has reportedly faulted KBR for dirty kitchen facilities in Iraq, in general, the company gets high marks from the troops. This comes from Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Heidi Bullock, a commander with the Defense Contract Management Agency. She recently returned from Iraq, where she oversaw KBR's construction of a base camp near Babylon. Colonel Bullock says privatizing logistics allows soldiers and Marines to do what they're trained to do, instead of slinging hash, or worse, cleaning the burnout latrines once a day.
As a soldier, if I'm Private First Class Dulips or whatever, and I get stuck with this duty, I'm really happy when KBR shows up with their porta potties and their cleaning services, and we say, oh, yes, thank you, God. You know, somebody likes me finally.
It's sort of like incumbency. Certain military contractors get the work over and over, says Jim Wickland.
Because once you get these jobs and you start doing them, you have a dramatic advantage over anybody else who wants to compete in that market.
As military outsourcing hurtles forward, the Pentagon relies more and more on private companies for whom war and its aftermath mean big bucks. Dan Briody, a Connecticut-based author who's researching a book about Halliburton, says it's all a business proposition.
It's easy for the debate to get highly politicized and take on this sort of sinister tone, but to bring it back down to earth, you have to remember that Halliburton is a company that is in business to make money, and the government is offering them contracts to do just that, and they're fulfilling those contracts.
While Halliburton has received early criticism for alleged special treatment at overspending, it may be a taste of what's to come. Last month, Congress appropriated $18.7 billion for 26 additional projects in the coming year to reconstruct Iraq. Democratic lawmakers are already sounding the alarm that the Pentagon plans to hand-pick the next contractors without competitive bidding. While Iraq is a windfall for private contractors, it is an unfolding nightmare for government auditors. John Burnett, NPR News.